warmer conditions with a high of 83. For tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with a low of 63. On your Monterey Bay boaters forecast, west winds 5 knots this evening, becoming lighter with wind waves 1 to 2 feet. West swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds with some patchy fog out on the bay this evening. It is currently 60 degrees here at KSCO. Now stay tuned for Let's Go Fishing on KSCO and KOMY with your hosts Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell. Let's go fishing. Welcome aboard. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. That's right, the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340. Thanks for tuning in. If you like to go fishing or like to hear fishing stories, you're tuned in the right show, or just entertainment. We're going to take you up and down the coast and talk about inland waters as well. Great fishing off Eureka for Pacific halibut. We're going to touch base on that. The commercial fishery of albacore, we'll tell you what's going on there, as well as the sport fishing industry and current catches on albacore. Big news on the radio show tonight. So, again, fishermen do care about fish and our resources, and we're here to help prepare you about regulations as well as what to expect or where to go if you want to go fishing this weekend, or just hear some good, fun fish stories from a lot of the characters that give us a call throughout the week, and the guys that are making a living in the industry, the charter boats and guides as well, and also special guests. We've got Alan, we've got Howard Egan sitting in with us, and he's going to fill us in on a state level. What's going on with the MLPAs? I mean, there's so many things going on in the industry right now, closures, regulation closures. I feel like it's a real treat. We've got a special guest that knows, which isn't hard to do, but he knows much more about it than I do, that's for sure. And that's Howard Egan, again, and he's going to talk to us after the break. And, Alan, what else do we have tonight? We've got a real exciting show, I know that.
Well, we're going to be looking at some pretty incredible stories of king salmon fishing up north out of Bodega Bay. We'll also take a look at San Francisco Bay and some of the fun that they're having off the shore and off the boats in San Francisco Bay. We'll probably take a peek at the San Diego reports too, Mike.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We should cover the area. I think Rick Powers is going to call from Bodega Bay, and I mean, talk about an epicenter of salmon. Those fish are just staging from Point Reyes to Bodega, so we're going to fill you in on that. If you want to go fishing out of San Francisco Bay for salmon, you're going to find out where to go and how to do it, hopefully, or even loading up the boat on the trailer and driving to Bodega Bay is not a bad bet. Or do it even simpler and just throw a cooler and a fishing pole in there and go up to Bodega Bay and hop on a charter boat or one of the boats out of Sausalito, for that matter. Alan's going to take us inland to the San Francisco Bay Area and talk about stripers and halibut. And as we work down the coast, we're going to tell you, did the sport guys catch some albacore today? I almost said halibut. I'm not used to saying albacore, but yes, the magic word albacore. And we'll let you know we're the first fish of the season. As funny as that sounds, because it's, what, the second, almost third week of July, but the first legitimate fish were caught the last few days here out of Santa Cruz. We'll tell you where, why, and how many of those. And what are the commercial boats doing? Boy, the pack of mystical lift pole boats were in Monterey Bay doing their purse seine and lapara nets, catching bait as they steamed up the line towards the borders of Oregon and Washington, looking for the plentiful stocks of albacore that are just starting to show up along the eastern Pacific there. So we'll talk about that and work our way down the coast into Southern California, kind of recap the Channel Islands that Chad Woods told us about last week, as well as what the San Diego long-range boats are doing. So you're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show.
Mike, let's give the numbers out before we go to the break in case anybody has a fish story to tell or a question to ask.
I would, Alan, but I think I forgot them. Could you tell us what they are?
Sure thing. Area code's 831-479-1080 or 477-1340. The show's for all of us, not just about me and Mike or Howard for that matter. It's about all of us in the greater Santa Cruz, Monterey, California fishing community.
That's right, Alan. Like we always say, it's not about us. It's about fishermen as a whole. So no one of us knows more than all of us. If you'd like to, give us a call, 477-1340 or 479-1080, just like on your dial. If you've got a question, give us a shout. Feel free. If we can't answer it, we'll make something up. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back after the break, and we're going to talk to Howard Egan in regards to what the regulation changes are with the MLPAs. So we'll be right back.
Thank you. After 25 years of excellent customer service in our community, Dave Dawson is now working as a realtor with Bailey Properties. Dave's success is a combination of his local knowledge and his ability to produce results and please his clients. If you or anyone you know is considering buying or selling any real estate, you need to call Dave Dawson at 901-2856. That's Dave Dawson at Bailey Properties, 901-2856. You know, hiring a contractor to do your home improvement is like fishing. Sometimes, well, most of the time, you never know what you're going to get. When it comes to your roof, Warren Knox at Knox Roofing wants you know what you're going to get, and that's a roof worth keeping. Knox Roofing takes pride in their work, and that's why they're the most chosen roofing contractor in the area. Give Knox Roofing a call in Santa Cruz, 461-0634. In Monterey, 831-394-0110, or check them out at knoxroofing.com. Bayside Marine, a complete tackle store. Up-to-the-minute reports from local fishermen. The finest tackle from sport to commercial gear. CalStar, Shimano, Lamaglass, Penn, from long-range Mexico gear to the hottest salmon gear of the Northwest. Bayside Marine has it all. Call the hotline at 464-3474. Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp. Pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port Haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you.
You may be spending money on insurance right now. Do you know what your auto liability limits are? Is your home covered for full reconstruction costs? Do you know how affordable a renter's policy or life insurance can be when they are packaged with other farmers' policies? If you haven't talked to your agent lately and you would like a friendly consultation with me, Mike Baxter, call 831-588-9577. Farmers' rates are very competitive. For a quote, call Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577, or contact me through the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show website, www.theletsgofishingradioshow.com. Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577.
You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect your required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call Pete Middlecoff, financial consultant, at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecoff. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Your hosts every week, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell on the Let's Go Fishing Show. Also streamed live on KSCO.com and archive. Thanks to the folks at Ship to Shore Radio. You can not only listen to fishermen in the Monterey Bay, Half Moon Bay, and San Francisco Bays while they're fishing, stream live over the internet at Ship to Shore Radio. But also you can listen to the show again if there's a couple of tips or tidbits of information you didn't get during the show or you want to re-listen. You can hear it there. Also archived at sportfishingreport.com. So thanks to those guys. Great internet sites. Thanks for tuning in. KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340. the Let's Go Fishing Show. And looking forward to, boy, during the break, I almost missed the show. We were so busy bragging about all the fish we've catching. Pretty good times, but proud to be a sportsman in the area. And there's just so much going on. The middle of summer, from albacore to halibut, rockfish opener. Remember those abalone season, that's closed. Trout fishing inland, it's all happening. But even more important, part of being a sportsman is partly the responsibility is to be involved. And a big issue along the coastal waters has been the MLPAs. And there's probably no one better to explain it to us than a local himself, Howard Egan. And he is the Sanctuary Affairs Coordinator for Recreational Fishing Alliance. Did I get it right, Howard?
Yeah, you did.
I'm glad I practiced in front of the mirror all afternoon, because that's a tough one. But what it is, it's an important position. And maybe you could just explain to us what you do and where we stand, whether you're a fisherman or you just like to utilize the resource, the bay waters that we live in here. What's going on in regards to MLPA? And tell us, what is the MLPA?
Well, the Marine Life Protection Act, the Marine Life Protection Act, and it's a state law. And hopefully most of the people who are listening have been sort of keeping up. About in March, the final Blue Ribbon Task Force meeting came about, and they forwarded three proposals for groups of marine protected areas. Two of the proposals were conservation groups' proposals, and the other proposal one was a fisherman's proposal that we crafted and put together. And there were some other proposals that did not get forwarded, but those three proposals all were deemed to be qualified to move forward. So the fisherman's proposal was a qualified proposal to move forward.
Can I, I'm going to interrupt real fast, Howard, but it might be confusing. Even as a sportsman, I know that on a federal level through the sanctuary, some time back, the sanctuary proposed areas, designated areas that we were to not fish in, as well as do other recreational uses. And those were called MPAs, which were Marine Preserve Areas.
Yeah, right. So and in fact, these are also called marine protected areas, MPAs.
Marine listed protected areas. But I think for me to differentiate them, this is more proposed on a state level rather than the federal level and sanctuary level. Is that right?
Right. The sanctuary, once the state got back involved, the sanctuary backed off of working in state waters and is focusing on federal waters. Mm-hmm. They're all called marine protected areas. Mm-hmm. And it's just that the state unfortunately came up with a name for the law called the Marine Life Protection Act.
Okay.
And that's why it's kind of confusing. MLPA, MPA, what the heck? It's an alphabet soup.
Yeah, right? And I remember when it was first proposed, there was quite a bit of public outcry at the meetings. And I know due to some of the debt that our state has acquired, they kind of went away for some time. I know we're getting off subject a little bit, but simply put, the MLPAs is brought about primarily on a state level. It sounds like there's cooperation from the sanctuary, and it's become more active. People like you are more involved with, and in fact, I worked on some of the charts with you to designate areas that might affect local fishermen in the Monterey Bay.
And the fishermen's kind of overall thrust has been to come up with ways to meet the requirements of the act and to meet the science guidelines, but still come up with something that doesn't hurt us too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like we've done that. And right now the trick is to get the Fish and Game Commission to vote on which package to put into law. And what we're hoping for is that the Fish and Game Commission puts package one, the fisherman's proposal, as the proposal that they adopt. And that is the most, or the least harmful to fishing, and still has all the conservation benefits that the other proposals do.
Okay, and now, you showed me some of the charts that you guys have come up with. Is that the chart that I looked at that specifies an area from Scott Creek to New Year's Island? Is that the proposal one you're speaking of?
No, that's actually the worst of the proposals on the table right now, that mm-hmm. chart. And so for our area in Santa Cruz, we've done very good at the negotiating table to come up with a plan that works really well. We weren't as successful in the rest of the region, which the region goes all the way from Pigeon Point all the way down to Point Conception. And the areas around Morro Bay were particularly hard hit by the current preferred alternative, which we're hoping that we can dissuade the Fish and Game Commission from voting for and vote for ours.
Okay, so the one I looked at was actually pretty good, and even being involved with a small amount, especially compared to you and a lot of the other people that are more active, the hours you have into it, but being a small amount involved that I was, the proposal I saw from you is a good management resource. I mean, I think it's fair to say that fishermen don't necessarily want to have us have the ability to go out there and catch all the fish in the ocean. We want proper management. My biggest concern is anytime there's emergency closures is not so much in regards to the emergency closure at the moment, but more what was management doing to that resource that caused us to get into an emergency closure. So luckily people like you that are sportsmen, first of all, are being proactive with this. What can other people do to learn more about MLPAs, Howard?
Well, we have on our website at www.fishpolitics.com. We have all the information needed for sending both letters of support to the Fish and Game Commission for our package. We'd also like as many people as possible to attend the August 2nd Fish and Game Commission meeting in Sacramento. I know that's a hardship, but if anybody has the ability to attend that meeting and show your support for Package 1, that would be greatly appreciated. And the specifics for that meeting will be listed at that site, www.fishpolitics.com.
All right. And Alan, I saw you get the pin out. Did you write that down, or Howard's got it?
Yes. Yeah, I did write it down, Mike. I also have it bookmarked on my computer at home, and there's a great discussion board on fishpolitics.com. That anybody can sign up for and get a password, and you can engage, you know, some of the experts at Howard and some of the other guys from the RFA and other sportsmen from across the state. I think it's real important to support the efforts of the leaders here in this fight. You know, Howard is one of them. Other people in the RFA, of course, the Coastside Fishing Club, they've been instrumental in recognizing what our rights are and pushing for them. So I want to encourage all the listeners to take advantage of that website and at least get in contact, at least send a couple easy-to-send emails.
Okay, and now, Howard, I kind of jumped right to that, but simply put, because these charts are hard for us to explain over the radio, are those listed there? It sounds like the big deal we're looking at is three proposals that are going to the state Fish and Game August 2nd, and are those three proposals listed there on the site?
Yeah, there'll be links to the proposals on the site. The proposals are actually on the Fish and Game site, but there'll be links to the proposals at the site. You can see all of them.
Yeah, so someone can be a little more proactive, look at the proposals, decide what one might benefit there or their area, kind of as a whole, and unite together. If someone did have the time August 2nd to go to Sacramento, what should they expect there? Is there going to be open forum, or is it just a matter of showing up to show in numbers?
Oh, definitely. There. If you get there at 9 o'clock, there'll be some people there to give you kind of general instructions on how to fill out a speaker card and say your piece before the Fish and Game Commission. Because the reason for this meeting is to present the package that the state's proposing and for people to comment on that package and say what they don't like about it or what they do like about it. And in our case, it's going to be mostly what we don't like about it.
Okay, so do you know yet at this level what the State Fish and Game Commission, what proposal they're favoring?
The Fish and Game Department took these three proposals that got forwarded, and then they kind of mushed them together a little bit and came up with a quote-unquote preferred alternative that they're pitching, which is frankly not all that different from the two conservation groups' proposals. It's a little bit better in certain areas, but in general, it's the total scope of the thing's about the same.
Okay. Well, that makes it pretty easy to understand. Again, what is the website again?
It's www.fishpolitics.com.
Okay, and you'll be there August 2nd, I imagine.
Unfortunately, I actually have a real job, and I usually go to all of these Fish and Game Commission meetings, but I'm going to be on another business trip, so I won't be able to go. But we have lots of other people. That's the benefit of having this really great big group coalition of people that we work with. If any one of us suddenly can't pick up the ball, somebody else will.
And with outside organizations other than Recreational Fishing Alliance, is who have you been working with, the Coastside Group or
We work with Coastside Group. We also, this entire Fisherman's Package was put together by this really broad coalition, and it's really a pretty big step forward in this broad coalition of commercial and recreational fishing groups. So basically we came up with this California Fisheries Coalition, which was, we just put together just for this one purpose. It's got the wet fish producers, it's got nearshore commercial rock fishermen, it's got recreational angling groups up and down the state, it's got divers, kelp harvesters, basically every, and port districts. And so basically everybody who is involved in really using and caring about the ocean resources kind of came together, and we've held this coalition, which is a tough thing to do between having commercial and recreational fishermen all in one room all the time, but worked out pretty good.
So when you look at the three proposals and the one that Fish and Game may be presenting, would it be possible for you just to summarize what kind of a change we might see along the coast, like X amount of closed spots, nearshore points, right, and when they would take effect?
Yeah, basically the package one has approximately 10% of the coastal waters in reserves, and package P, which is the state's preferred alternative, and I'm pulling this out of my head here, I believe is about 15 to 18% reserves, with a total of 20% in these MPAs. Okay. And just from the Santa Cruz perspective, it's like you were saying, you know, we have one area that's going to be closed to nearshore fishing. It's going to be kind of from Scott's Creek up to inside the anchorage at Anyo.
Yeah, so it's kind of a tough question, but it sounds like proposals will range from 10 to 20% closure at key points. It really looks like they emphasize areas like, you know, an example would be Anyo Nuevo or even Waddell area off Natural Bridges was a proposed spot. So key reef areas and points where a lot of recreational rock fishing, ground fish, and even halibut may be.
Right, and fortunately for us, all of the areas that were close to port were completely saved for fishing.
That's good.
So we here in Santa Cruz made out pretty well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say these are above and beyond and on top of the already enforced regulations on the state level, which is there supposedly to support, protect, and manage our recreational fishing for all fishes, salmon, halibut, rockfish, all the fish that may also be affected by these closures. So again, the website, Howard, one last time.
Is www.fishpolitics.com.
All right. Well, you know, I really appreciate everything that you do and everyone else. If you didn't get that site or you want more information, call us during the break or even right after the show. We'll still be here, 479-1080. On a friendly note, Howard, since we go back quite a few years, I would say, fishing together, what have you been up to? I know you've got kids and a family life, and have you been fishing?
Well, I just came back from a one-week vacation in Mammoth with the family, and we just had a great time trout fishing and just a good time in general. I took the family up to Virginia Lakes a couple of days, and I didn't even get to put my line in the water. Fishing was so good. I was going from my wife to my son to my daughter, unhooking fish, baiting this hook, casting my son's rod out, and repeat the process until we had all the fish that we could possibly want.
That's great. Were they kind of taking it for granted, like, boy, this is easy?
Yeah.
When your dad knows how to fish, it makes it a little bit easier. But, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's the full circle, and you're thinking, you know what, my dad helped me fish. Now it's time for me to help my kids.
It was pretty fun.
Right on. Well, Howard, again, thank you very much. You know what we're going to do? Before the break, we've got an exciting call coming in from Eureka, California. I think Alan Bushnell was the inspiration in lining this up. But Kevin Milligers from Mad River Outfitters, and I'm going to re-quote Alan that I think was quoting Kevin when the term Richter came up. And we're not talking about an earthquake. We're talking about Pacific halibut right here in California. You don't have to go to Southeast Alaska. You can go to Northern California, visit the guys, have a good time, and find out how to catch a Pacific halibut. Yes, they're different than a California halibut. And as much as I love California halibut, I'll give them the Pepsi challenge any day of the week, because those Pacific halibut are just delicious. Kevin, take it from the top. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Mike? Alan?
Good, good. We're real good. Thanks for calling up tonight, Kevin.
Hey, no problem. How's it going down there?
Pretty good, but I got to say, we want to hear from you, Kevin. I mean, I got a lot of fishing stories as usual, but I'm hearing these rumors of Pacific halibut biting, you know, multiple hookups and double headers, and I'm thinking, what in Eureka? I can't believe it. So fill us in.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, there was a few select group of people that went out there and actually put the time in for the Pacifics and would catch them. But, you know, most people during the salmon season, rockfish season, didn't really have the, I don't know, the know-how to go out there and catch them. And then a few people started trying it, and a few people more started trying it. And it's become really popular and extremely successful for people over the last couple of years. There's a couple people that have been coming in the shop that are extremely avid Pacific halibut fishermen. They even pass up salmon season, you know, during the time the season's open to fish for Pacifics. And this one guy, Bob, gosh, I know in 4 trips, I think he landed 14 Pacific halibut. And then he has a buddy that had done similar numbers. And it pretty much seems like anybody that's been going out there and putting in even a half a day is getting rewarded. You're only allowed one fish, but, you know, a guy can cull through them if he wants because, you know, the halibut are so hardy. You can let them back down even from 200 feet of water and they swim off because no swim bladder.
I believe you guys are using the circle hook a lot of the time, so you're able to let the fish go also. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, no, most definitely. And the one guy, Bob, he's kind of taking it to a new level for himself. He's a similar product that they use up in Alaska a lot, but he comes in and he has me tie him up. They're big octopus hooks, like 10-aught gamakatsus, and I tie him up a double hard tie. And then he uses one of those big 9-inch, it's one of those B2 squids, the glow-in-the-dark ones. And then he basically takes the top hook. It's almost like hooking on an anchovy, per se. He hooks the top hook up through the head, and then he kind of threads the bottom hook in and through the body so it holds the squid on. And then he takes a herring, and it actually fits so perfectly snug up inside, and he runs it up inside of the squid so that there's a lot of trash fish out there sometimes, spiny dogfish, hake, stuff like that, that when you have it on a circle hook, they rip the herring off real quick. But he's been doing extremely well with that rig. Typically when I go, I use a 16-aught circle hook and, you know, a strip of salmon belly and a purple label herring or a black label herring, one of the big ones. They almost look like trout. But, it's been extremely, extremely good, and it seems like that a lot of people are turning their efforts towards Pacific halibut because our salmon season is closed up here right now, and we only get one more week. It's a big whoopee week in September, and then that's it for our salmon season. So it's been looking really good, and I'm looking forward to seeing how well people do over the next month or two.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of it has to do with just getting out there, and I think refining the technique helps a little bit. But, Kevin, I'm sorry, but when you talk about 16-aught circle hooks and 100-pound monoliters, it's hard for me to think that you're refining any technique at all. But I guess it does help. You designate an area and a technique. Maybe you leave them in the pole holders and what you use for bait and the general area. It's almost like albacore fishing offshore. The more guys that go, the more we learn about where the fish are and how to catch them. So it's amazing the more the stories we hear. I think you guys have been a big influence on that. And luckily, the numbers of those fish have been there for years and years. I know even commercial longline fleets of boats have ran out of Crescent City, Eureka, even as far south as Fort Bragg for years. So there's a plentiful stock of Pacific halibut in those waters. So it's really good to see sport fishermen in that area start to tap into them more and more. I don't recall the regulations offhand. I believe the minimum size is almost 3 feet. Do you remember the regulations offhand, Kevin?
Yeah, it's 32 inches is minimum size, which typically when you bring them up, sometimes it's surprising ones that actually make it to being legal, 33 inches, because they're not as round, you know, as the California halibut. So sometimes when you bring them up, you're like, ah, it might be a squeaker, and all of a sudden you measure them, and they are 3 feet long. But they kind of carry more of their girth through the body, you know, as the Californians are a little more round. But,
yeah. And Kevin, this is Alan. Thing that hasn't been mentioned is the weight of these fish. You gave me some figures before. It sounds like they're not quite Alaska fish, but little bigger than the typical California halibut.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fish that have been caught in the 20 to 40 pound range, and then typically there's a lot of them that are the kind of the larger grade ones, and it's so weird. It, you know, 53, 54, 56, you always hear those numbers in that mid 50 pound range. And then it seems like the big kickers of the year will be, 70 pounds or something like that. One guy got one last year that was a little over 90. So those are, you know, extremely large for the ones that we catch here, and not like, you know, your 200-something pound fish in Alaska. But table fare-wise, you know, they're probably the best darn eating size you can get.
I think he summed it up. Best darn eating. Those are so delicious. That's great news. Now, I know if a guy wanted to, and there's been talk, boy, when Alan called me with the report from you, it was pretty much, Mike, here's what's going on. Do you want to go? I don't even think there was a comma in there. I was about ready to load my old meat sticks up and head to Eureka. Is there anyone running trips, six packs, anyone running out of Mad River Outfitters? How could a guy go, whether he towed his boat up, can he contact you for information or hop on a six-pack boat?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a couple guys that are running out of the shop right now. They have a six-pack license, but they only take four people. They have a 23-foot Aquasport with a cabin on it, so comfortably four people. And, yeah, they're really versatile. They've been running salmon trips when the season was going, and then bottom fish trips, and as well doing Pacific halibut trips. So, and then as well, if a guy wanted to bring his boat up here, it's pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, it's almost like going straight out of the harbor and fishing off by the buoy there for California halibut. It's basically, if you know the basic area to go, and it's pretty broad. You know, there's a dump site is what they call it in Eureka, which is where they do the dredging from the harbor, and they deposit all the sand out there. And that's typically, it's a little raised spot out there in about 180 to 220 feet of water. And they've been pretty thick there. The last time we went out, we caught one pretty darn quick, and then rigged up, dropped him back down, got a double, and called it a day because we actually let the other one go.
There's a lot of head nodding going on in the studio today, Kevin, and I think what it refers to is, I can do that. That sounds easy enough for me to go do. Yeah. But I know there is some rigging. Do you guys have some of the spreader bars, some of the large circle hooks, the heavy monoliters at the shop there at Mad River Outfitters?
Definitely do. We've actually extremely stocked up on that type of stuff because you know how it goes. A few things pass on the radio, and next thing you know, everybody's coming in looking for gear that typically nobody had. I mean, who wanted to, you know, a 2-foot wire or, you know, 16-inch wire spreader bar.
Or 16-inch hook, so. Much less a tray of herring that are 14 to 16 inches long, and there's probably only four to a pack.
I think there's like six or eight, depending on which size you get. And then as well, a lot of people for a long time, they kept telling me, oh, I don't think you're allowed to use salmon bellies. Salmon bellies are illegal. And the head guy from Fish and Game, which comes into the shop, I asked him, and he said, no, you are allowed to use salmon bellies for halibut fishing in California. It's just that a guy can't take a 24-inch jack or something like that and cut the fillet up into strips and use it because that's wasting of a game fish. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they consider the bellies as basically something that's disregarded.
It's legal. Basically, the law would pertain to the want and waste law. So as long as you're utilizing the majority of the salmon and it's just a small portion of the belly strip, you're able to use that for bait. Well, give us some contact information, Kevin. We sure appreciate your call. Say hi to the guys up there in Eureka at Mad River Outfitters and give us the number.
I will. It's 707-826-7201.
All right, and if you see a couple good old boys from Santa Cruz heading that way, get ready, get the cooler out. We're going to go fishing.
Right on. I'll take you guys.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Have a good night.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for tuning in to Let's Go Fishing Show. We'll be right back. A quick break here when we get back. More information, what's going on as far as salmon on the Central Coast. We'll check into Bodega Bay Sport Fishing with Rick Powers and find out what's going on outside of Santa Cruz, Half Moon Bay, and San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year. For a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including six campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the lake view lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
and make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats, for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today. Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy, and Outdoor World has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing or Captain Jimmy Charters. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your catch. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHS, and single sideband. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital selective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine. 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Your hosts, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell, every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. Also find us online at the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show.com. Tons of links to weather, other fishing reports and resources, affiliated resources. There are a lot of the guides and charter boat captains that call us. You can find them at our own site, the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show.com. Thanks for tuning in. The show is only made possible by the sponsors. So again, if you heard their ad here on the show and you do visit those businesses, which a lot of us do, just say hi to them, tell them you heard the ad here on the show, and thanks for supporting it, because they keep us going, as well as all the folks here at KSCO Radio. And you guys, the listeners. So again, it's not about Alan and myself, but it's about us as a whole or a group as sportsmen trying to paint a pretty good picture about ourselves. On that same topic here, let's check in with Captain Jimmy. He's a captain aboard the Becky Ann right here out of Santa Cruz, runs a six-pack boat, and we'll find out what's going on with him. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, Mike.
What's happening? I hear rumors of halibut, albacore. What's really going on?
Hey, we got exciting news today. Albacore looks like they're showing a little bit, but they're a little bit far out. But we're going to try to go this weekend, make some runs for them. But what I called you for is that we had an afternoon trip this afternoon, and we just got in. Limits of rock cod, nice rock cod. And we caught a few, I think we got seven ling cod, but all short. but they were fun to catch.
Yeah. What's been going on? I really haven't been out for the rockfish as much as I like to. How's South Rock, the spot we call Kitty Rock, they're off natural bridges. In general, how is the shallow water rock cod fishing if a guy doesn't want to run all the way to Davenport or New Year's Island?
You don't have to. We had some rock cod that ran the 5 pounds last week.
Okay.
Nice big ones.
So even a person in a Santa Cruz rental boat off the main wharf
could head
up there off Lighthouse Point and catch some fresh rockfish.
Yeah, real nice.
And I think you came in the other day early with limits of lingcod also, is that right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay. And how about halibut? I know you've got a few little secret honey holes for the halibut. Have you dipping into those spots at all, Jim?
No, this week.
Okay.
You know, the weather looks good this week. No swells. Everything looks really good.
All right. So. And it sounds like you and the Doble, the sister ship there with Captain Jerry Brooks, you guys are going to plan an albacore trip soon, is that right?
Yeah, we're going to go Saturday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it looks like the weather might come up a little bit, but it sounds like it's still doable through the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's fine until Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. We had kind of that subtropical flow come through, and it really pushed a little bit of warm water towards us and kept the winds down. And today I heard reports, I talked to Jim Hart aboard the last toy, and he had 12 fish. They hooked 16. They were 70 miles west, southwest of Santa Cruz there, kind of outside the Dog Bone towards the Davidson, and he said they had decent action.
Yeah, I talked to him, too. That's what, you know, we got all excited today, and Jerry ran down the boat, and we started putting gear on the boat, and I had an afternoon charter, late afternoon charter, and, you know, tomorrow I'm not going to do anything but get tuna gear on the boat.
All right, you're going to be shaking. Your hands will be shaking, thinking about those long fin tuna boiling at the back of the boat in the blue water.
I can't wait.
Good news. Okay, so what to look for? Local six-pack boats as well as the Stagnero boats going out for cod, but it sounds like if you want a deluxe ride on a fast, comfortable boat, it's time to book those trips on either the Doble or the Becky Ann with Captain Jimmy, because when those tunas start to bite, the dates fill up, and there might not be a lot of days for albacore this year, so book them while you can. Give us some contact information, Jim.
Yeah, call us at 831-662-3020. And if the albacore are reasonably close, you know, I mean, we're getting booked. We've already got like 10 people, 10 charters booked already.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I imagine if you're full, you'll refer them to Jerry and
vice
versa.
Yeah, Jerry and I work together as a team.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you calling the show. You have a great weekend, and thanks for the report.
Okay. This guy's had fun tonight. You know, it was really, I just got in, so it was a real nice afternoon bite and young kids and has really a lot of fun.
All That's right. the way to do it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Alan's driving me home after the show. I'm going to have him swing by the harbor to try to get some fresh fish from you.
We're going to have some right now.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Yeah, okay. Good night, Jim.
And when you talk about great fishing, I'll tell you, there's probably, we've used the term Richter tonight in regards to the Pacific halibut fishing, but I almost think we should, what would we use for salmon fishing out of Bodega, Alan? Probably wide open. I hate to, it's not very original, but.
It seems overused, but I can't think of a word that's more appropriate according to the reports I got from Captain Rick Powers out of Bodega today.
How's it going, Rick? What's really going on there?
Well, I'll tell you, the fishing's it's holding up well. We were out today, and we dropped in. We were about 3 to 4 miles west-southwest of the Whistle, and we had 15 to 20 fish by probably 9:30. I mean, not wide open by any means, but, you know, good steady action. And we had been fishing, 3 to 4 miles west-northwest of Point Reyes Lighthouse the last few days. Some big fish and lots of them, you know, at least a fish per rod up to limits. And the San Francisco fleet's been coming all the way up from the city and fishing that same area. Well, they were out there today, and they actually had been kind of working to the north. Every day the fish seemed to be getting pushed up higher and higher. And our other boat, the Predator, came on at about 10 o'clock in the morning and said he was getting 5 and 6 fish on at a time, all big fish. He was kind of plagued with sea lion problems, but we decided to pick up our lines and run out there. And in a matter of about an hour, we ended up with 30 limits of salmon. The biggest fish was 42 pounds. And, just a big brute caught by one of the guys that's been fishing with me for about the last 30 years. And his name's Fred Cornelius from Vacaville. And Fred's 91 years old, and he landed that 42-pounder and was one happy guy.
That's a fish of a lifetime, no matter what age you are. That's great. I got to ask, because we'll never hear a story of a salmon that big. Was it the long variety, or was it the fat football type, Rick?
You know, it was the fat, I call them suitcases. It was the, the fat football type, Mike. It was it was not a real, you know, I thought it, when I first, I actually gaffed that thing in the head because the deckhand was concerned about getting them in the net. And quite often we get a huge fish, we'll do that. And, you know, when I first threw them on the boat, I looked at them and I thought, man, this thing is going to go close to 50 pounds, you know. But I was off by about 8 pounds. It wasn't quite as big as I thought, but it was, I mean, the girth on this thing was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually had three fish over 40 pounds so far this season, which is, at this time of the year, I've never done before. So there's some huge fish out there.
Yeah, you're right. I guess football wouldn't do it justice. Suitcase is more like it, but the point got across it. It was a fat one, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So it's holding up. I mean, you hold your cards close there, Captain Powers, but the truth is it is very good fishing still. I'm going to call it wide open, but it sounds like really good fishing. The weather sounds like it's pretty good for you guys, too.
Well, finally, it's been, the offshore reports, even at the Bodega weather buoy, it's been flat calm, no swell, little or no wind. It almost looks like a different world out there. I mean, it's been 75 degrees and just beautiful shirt sleeve weather. It's just been absolutely gorgeous. And,
yes.
And we've been running some combo trips, and we've had some exceptional rock fishing. Yesterday, we had 32 limits of good quality rockfish, mainly coppers, browns, large blacks, a lot of vermilions. Probably had 60, 70 vermilions on the boat. And we had 56 lane cod and 28 salmon to boot. So pretty darn good fish.
Pretty good. Alan and I were talking about going for Pacific halibut. We're going to have to stop in Bodega Bay now. Pretty soon our two-day trip's going to be about 10 days. out of Bodega Bay Sport Fishing, Rick Powers on the new Sea Angler. Give us some contact information. I know also if your boat is full, you're booking other boats, but sounds like a great place to be right now. Give us some information.
Okie doke. If somebody would like to get in touch with us, they need information or they'd like to make a reservation to go fishing, they can reach us at 707-875-3344 or 875-3495.
Fantastic. Rick, I really appreciate you calling the show this season. It's been real nice to have you as a guest. So I'm glad you're having good fishing there, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. It's been great working with you guys, talking with you, and I look forward to it every week.
All right. Catch another whopper this weekend, Rick.
Okay. Take
All right, take
Good
care.
Night now.
Bye-bye.
And what do you think, Alan?
Wow. You know, it's, well, the fishing's good here too, Mike. I mean, but I got the bug. My feet are itching. I want to go.
It is. That sounds great. Bodega Bay's good. Now, commercial season starts, I believe it's the 25th, I think next Tuesday. It's sometime next week. Sorry, I'm not
Tuesday,
commercial
yeah.
fishing now. I think next Tuesday. And it opens from Point Arena South, I believe. So there's going to be a little bit of commercial pressure up there after this week. And you might consider getting up there now. However, their regulations will go back to the 75 fish per week. So I'm glad. I'm glad to see the commercial guys get out there and get some fresh fish on the markets for the consumers and to make a few dollars, but that is something to look forward to coming up here, so you might want to get your licks in on those salmon now. We're going to go into a quick break. When we get back, again, we're going to review Monterey Bay and the South Coast, as well as the tuna report, where they were and what they caught out of Santa Cruz. So don't touch the dial. We've got more fishing information for you.
Serious sport fishermen rely on Raymarine's high-definition digital fish finders to increase their chances of seeing and catching more fish. And so should you. Johnson Hicks offers the new Raymarine A-Series fish finders with patented award-winning HD technology. The digital fish finders deliver the sharpest underwater imagery available anywhere, not to mention true hands-off operation and no-compromise performance. Choose from a 4, 5, or 6-inch display. The new C-Series also offers HD technology. Simply add Raymarine's black box sounder. Choose from a 4, 7, or 12-inch display. Find Raymarine online at www.raymarine.com or call Johnson Hicks at 831-475-3383 for more information. That's 831-475-3383.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch specials, like the lasagna or the enchilada casserole. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and SoCal Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders or takeout. Call 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone. Fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaro's at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Sculpts and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology gives you the opportunity to target the fish you want to catch before you've already passed over them. Interphase also provides boaters the finest chart plotters made with bright screens, fast processors, and easy-to-use functions. Interphase's forward-looking technology can be found at Johnson Hicks or online at www.interphase-tech.com. Look forward. Find Interphase.
Want to go saltwater fishing but don't have a boat? No problem. Drop on down to Capitola Boat and Bait on the Capitola Wharf or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals at the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, where fishing is serious fun. You'll find great pier fishing with full-service tackle shops, sturdy ocean skiffs for rent, fresh and frozen baits, and up-to-the-minute fishing advice and inside tips. For more info, call Capitola Boat and Bait at 462-2208 or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals, 423-1739.
Boat and Motor Mart. Serving boaters since 1955, for over 51 years, the customer has always come first at Boat and Motor Mart, California's exclusive dealer for Osprey boats. Hosting a full array of Yamaha outboards. Quiet, smooth, fuel efficient, and powerful. That's Yamaha outboards. Boat and Motor Mart is home to a new line, that's Parker Boats. Parker Boats have brought value and customer satisfaction to new levels. Check out Boat and Motor Mart's new location in South San Francisco at Oyster Point Marina. By land or sea, it's easy to find. 671 Marina Boulevard or call 650-246-1460. That's Boat and Motor Mart, 650-246-1460. Or online at www.boatandmotormart.com.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into Let's Go Fishing. Again, a quick summary on the weather for the Outer Bay waters. A subtropical flow is passed. High pressure is starting to build. Winds are still going to be moderate, though, 10 to 20 knots in the outer waters. In the bays, 5 to 15 knots throughout the weekend. So not bad in the weather. We covered Eureka, Pacific Halibut, Bodega Bay Salmon still bite. San Francisco Bay, Alan, take it from the top.
Okay, Duxbury. Duxbury is still kicking out limits of salmon for the boats leaving out of San Francisco Bay. Inside the bay, the bank fishermen are doing real good with shark, halibut, kingfish, and bass literally everywhere. Oyster Point, Candlestick Point, San Pablo Bay, etc. Angel Island and Alcatraz seem to be the best place to fish for halibut in the bay right now.
All right. Santa Cruz, yes, albacore were caught. Check in with Bayside Marine. They're about 70 miles out for the albacore. Halibut remains tough. A few rockfish, rock fishing real good in the inshore waters, and a few halibut, SoCal Hole, as well as the Soldiers Club. Good luck. Have fun. Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next weekend. Next week.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080 KSCO.